We don't know the winners of today's elections. We do know the winners of the World Series. The San Francisco Giants beat Texas in last night's deciding game 3-1, and the final tally in the series was 4-1.
In last night's very exciting game, the Texas Rangers sent their great pitcher, Cliff Lee, to the mound. But it was the Giants' pitching that brought them a title. NPR's Mike Pesca reports.
In the 1950s, they had girdles. Today, we call them Spanx. Pretty much the same thing. In the 1950s, they had Ted Mack Amateur Hour. Today, we call it American Idol. Same idea. In 1954, the New York Giants last won the World Series. Today, they're called the San Francisco Giants, and the same title can finally be applied. Champions. It was all resting on the narrow shoulders of their two-time Cy Young Award-winning pitcher, Tim Lincecum. In a celebratory post-game locker room, Giants catcher Buster Posey described his battery mate's attitude before the game.
You know what it is? It's called being a gamer. Walking in the clubhouse today, and the guys as loose as can be, joking around. Just same old Timmy. You would have no idea that he's got an opportunity to go out and win Game 5 of the World Series and win us a World Series championship.
Looseness in the clubhouse translated to an array of pitches let loose on the Rangers. Lincecum has three really good pitches in the strike zone, four tempting ones out of the zone, and enough hard stuff to keep a hitter honest.
I mean, he's so little, and you don't really can see the pitches sometimes. And when he gets that confidence going on like tonight, that makes him pretty hard.
Lincecum's stuff was as confusing as calculus, an improvement on a mediocre Game 1 performance. His opposite number, Cliff Lee, had come into the World Series as statistically the least hittable postseason pitcher ever. But his Game 1 start was rough. He was making amends last night. Neither team had scored through six, but the Giants had runners in scoring position in the seventh when Edgar Renteria stepped up to bat. Cliff Lee takes it from there.
Renteria got himself in a 2-0 count and got a pitch up. And
is that a cutter?
It was a cutter, yeah.
Renteria added one detail about that cutter.
I got lucky to throw that cutter inside the bono cut.
The result was this. Courtesy of Rangers Radio WRLD.
Murphy is back on the track, looking up. It is gone.
The Rangers added a Nelson Cruz homer in the seventh, but Lincecum's one bad pitch came with no men on. Final score, Giants 3, Rangers 1. Afterward, Lincecum was sure to nod to history, even history that didn't go quite as far back as Candlestick Park, Seal Stadium, or the Polo Grounds.
A lot of guys in there, you know, they've been praying for this day. I mean, they came up short, back there in the early 2000s, and it added motivation, you know, knowing that we haven't done it in a long time. We really made us want to nail it down here.
The Giants closer, fur-faced fireballer Brian Wilson, who pitched a perfect ninth, chose to live a little more in the moment.
I feel awesome. I feel like I want to chug champagne right now and get a little weird.
Get weird? The Giants, who made the playoffs on the last day of the regular season? The Giants, whose best offensive player was a cast-off wannabe rodeo clown, who relied on relievers who looked like a collection of woolly willies and starters who appeared barely old enough to shave, get weird? The Giants, the San Francisco Giants, world champions. Pretty wonderfully weird, all told. Mike Pesca, NPR News, Arlington, Texas.
And just to clear up the record, at one point in yesterday's program, we misstated the score of Game 3. The Rangers actually beat the Giants 4-2 in what we now know was the Rangers' only victory in the series.